Who's going to open in prayer?
Father, we thank you.
Yeah.
That you've been with us this week.
Amen.
Mm. And Father, we thank you that you brought us together this evening.
You did.
Lord, just teach us what you want us to learn this evening, Father. Mm. Let us be open to your spirit, guiding. Mm. Let us pay attention, Lord, to what you're saying.
Mm.
Lord, you bless each one that's here, Father.
Mm.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I just want to, you know, thank you for giving me a new family, and hopefully get a lot of prosperity in life. And thanks, you know, thanks for everything.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Praise God. Okay, I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. It's always different, anyway, ain't it? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I occasionally use this 365 days of power. The other day, it was Sunday actually, I opened it up and just started to read, and the first title is Conquering Circumstances.
Amen.
And I'm just going to read it, okay, and you may find it triggers something off. These are some thoughts that have been written by the man Rick Renner, and it starts off, my prayer for today. Lord, I want to be the kind of person who never allows the circumstances of life to stop me from accomplishing your plans for my life. I'm sorry for the times I've acted weak and complained that the circumstances I face were too hard to deal with. The truth is, you have given me your spirit and your power. That means there is no problem, no challenge, and no hardship I cannot conquer and overcome.
Amen.
If I take the power you make available to me, I can do anything you tell me to do. So today I'm making my choice. I'm reaching out by faith to grab hold of your spirit's power, so I can be supernaturally quickened to complete every assignment heaven ever asks me to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. And the verse of scripture that he uses, or it's part of what he uses, from Psalm 18. And Psalm 18 says, by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leapt over a wall. It is God that girds me up with strength and makes my way perfect. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. And that's Psalm 18. And then he goes on to for the confession for his day. It has a confession for your day. I confessed that I am the kind of person God can count on to get something done. God knows I will never surrender to any attack of the devil. I regularly demonstrate that I'm going to keep forging ahead to finish my assignment, and that I will never quit until I can say, the job is done.
Amen.
Jesus overcame the world, and today he gives me the power to overcome it too. Like Jesus and other strong men and women of God before me, I will overcome the world and every form of opposition the devil puts in my way. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah. Say, it was a good thought. It's a good prayer for the day.
Mm.
It's good to act on it as well. And then I started to sort of follow on. And he really follows through with this. And so it's, I just want to read the next couple of days, because they've been an encouragement and a blessing to me. And so many of us can be troubled by our memories.
Look at me.
No, I'm not. See what I mean? I get into trouble when I look at somebody. Mm. Yeah, most of the time, if I was saying last week, I don't sort of look at the back wall as if there's nobody there. Mm. But you see, you look at people because you want to know, hey, are you listening? Are you actually listening? Are you still connected and communicated? Obviously, when I minister, there's times when I can look at somebody and realise that what I've just said, it just went, sailed over the top. And I think, got to do that. And I look at them and say, you didn't understand that, do you? And they'll be honest and say, no, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. So there's no point in carrying on like that. So then I attack it from another direction and try and explain it in a different way. And at some stage, the green light comes on. And it's like, I can see that, yeah, it's registered, and they say, yeah, I got it now. So otherwise, there's no point, is there? It's just a waste of, waste of time. So we need to help people remember and learn. We never stop learning. I never stop learning. Even at my young age. So the next day it says this, turn your memories around. My prayer for today. Lord, I admit that I allow some bad memories to paralyse me and keep me from taking the step of faith I need to take right now. I forget to consider how you saved me, delivered me, and rescued me from the events that caused those painful memories. I only reflected on the bad part, failed to recognise how faithful you were to help me in that situation. Today I am making the choice to turn my memories around. Holy Spirit, help me to pass bad experiences in the light of God's goodness and faithfulness. Fill my mind with good things God has done for me and the knowledge that he will continue to be faithful to deliver me no matter what opposition comes my way. I pray this in Jesus' name. The scripture reference he uses is from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And he says, and in that chapter it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. Memories can be a prisoner, can be a prison camp for you. Memories can be a jail cell.
Yeah.
And when the bad memories in particular, they are prison cells.
Mm.
And they hold you locked into a situation, into a circumstance, and they stop you from moving forward.
Yeah. Mm.
And when that happens, you to some degree, you're slightly paralysed.
You are, I was thinking that.
And that's not what God wants. God wants each and every one of us, day by day, to be making steps forward, to make progress in him, to grow in him. If, for instance, there was a child and he wasn't maturing, he wasn't growing, you'd think there was something wrong, wouldn't you? And you'd be looking to find out what it is and to make sure that that child grew. So in the spiritual realm, we need to be growing in God. And I know some of you guys, it may be, well, I've not yet come that far in God. I'm not really sure whether I believe there is a God. Well, that's the progress and a step that we're going to gradually take people along.
Mm.
Some of us already have walked that, some of those pathways. Some of us have already gone through the questioning. But the enemy always works with doubts and fears.
Yeah.
Every time. He always plays the mind game on you.
Yeah.
Always sort of works on you with the doubts and fears. It's the same pattern that he's used right from the beginning of creation.
Yeah.
When he went to Adam and Eve in the garden, and his question was, did God say? And the way it was asked is, it's just to bring a hint of doubt. And so if you can actually cause that to come to the front of a person's life, you can paralyse them.
Yeah.
You know, like scared rabbits in headlights, isn't he? You know,
just stand there
and let it all happen, instead of taking some evasive action. And in particular as a Christian, instead of using the word of God, and this is where we need, and this is not a get at anybody, but this is where we need to bring our Bibles, this is where we need to bring a notebook, where we can make notes and say, right, this is what God said to me, and I need to do this.
Mm.
At home you can write scriptures out and pin them up on mirrors, and you know, you go and comb your hair and suddenly it's like there's a scripture there, and it reminds you of something that you need to quote.
Mm.
Because the word of God is powerful. The word of God changes circumstances and situation. We have Tracy here tonight. the word of God and the prayer of faith over her when the doctor said she was going to die changed that circumstance and situation.
Amen.
So the word of God is powerful. It changes lives. The greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation when somebody gives their heart and life to Jesus. John, she was in one of these meetings. This is not a good advert, really, when I say this one. But she was sat somewhere in where you're sat. And I think we were just having a general meeting, weren't we? Nothing.
We were stood up, actually, holding hands, and we were praying, I think.
We were.
Speaking in tongues, yeah.
That's right, we were praying for certain situations, yeah, and we were all stood up. And all of them, she went down. And I looked at her. And I thought, she's dead. And I saw this death mask over her face. And everybody moved to pray for her. And she was just, well, for me, she was gone. And the first thing that happened, right, was this voice said to me, you better ring for an ambulance. Because if you carry on praying for her like this and she don't come back to life, what they're going to say about you? Minister does not call for ambulance.
Yeah,
let's woman die. Let's woman die, basically. And I'm wrestling with these questions, these doubts, these fears. Now, these fears can paralyse you. And I had to stand there and take authority with everybody else. Now, I don't know whether anybody else had those thoughts in their mind. I have no idea. Some may have just been caught up with the moment and just moved immediately into prayer, and some were. But me being the leader, suddenly all sorts of things start flashing through your mind from all angles. And but we pressed through and we prayed. And she's still here today, some years later. Mm. Now, Joan and I didn't speak about that night for quite a long time, did we?
No.
But Joan shared an experience about that. And if you'd like to just say something on that line, you remember from that evening.
Well, I'd been to a funeral that day. My brother-in-law had died. And funeral went okay, and it was really good, because I'd prayed for him when he was in hospital, and my niece and my nephew was used to go to church, so they were pleased that I said I'd pray for him. But eventually he did die, actually. Anyway, I'd been to the funeral, everything was all right, and went really well, come to the meeting. We just stood up round in this circle, all holding hands, and all of a sudden I was stood next to Philip, and holding his hand, and I says, oh, I feel as if I'm going to faint. I'll have to sit down. So I sat down, and next minute I woke up, and there were Louise, you know, Ken's daughter, and holding my hand and praying in tongues outside of me. Philip and Andrew were there, and I felt dreadful when I come to it. Absolutely dreadful. But thank the Lord, that was it.
Yeah, but you told me, also, you told me that you saw something.
No, you saw something. When I came through the door, you saw your mum.
No, I was thinking of something else.
Oh.
You said you felt that you were going down a dark tunnel.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Don't you remember telling me that?
No.
All right, well, you told me afterwards, sometime later, that you said you felt that you were going down a dark tunnel. And often that is a sign of, hey, this is it, it's over. But, you know, she's here today, and we're talking about a good number of years ago now, aren't we?
Mm.
And so, again, fear of some sort can paralyse you. Stops you doing what you know is right. Stops you doing what you know God can do through you.
Mm.
And the devil wants to bring you to a point of fear so that you will not operate in the power of the Spirit of God. You will not operate under the wisdom and the direction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because the Word of God will change things.
Yeah.
We, even just in this small group, this small church, we've seen many people healed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, sorry to interrupt. I know that the word of God will change things and He will heal, but the government and, you know, the country doesn't. Not everybody believes in God, so like you're saying, if you somebody telling you to phone the ambulance, you know, I mean, if it were left up to, I mean, you would have kept praying, and you know, hopefully, in God's hands, God would have brought her back. But if you kept on doing that, and like you say, and she did die. You know, I mean, what would the police say? Or
I've no idea, but I was at a point where my faith was being challenged.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I decided that I was going to believe God. You see, there comes a point where your faith has to be challenged for it to grow.
But this society,
oh, I know,
won't let you.
No, well, society.
That's what
no,
I'm trying to get at,
yeah, no, all right, that's fine. Yeah, yeah, society doesn't want faith to grow. Society's not really interested in God,
no.
And so the question is, am I ruled by society?
You're only ruled by God, aren't
or
you?
I'm ruled by God.
But
it's and it has to be the Word of God that gives us direction. You see, just because we create a law in the land that says to be a homosexual and to have homosexual marriage is okay, that's the law of this land, but it's not a law that I accept because there is a higher law, as far as I'm concerned, and that is the law of God.
Yeah.
And the law of God and the Word of God is against that. So therefore, I bow to the law of the Word of God. Now then, they make... In this land, we have speed limits. And we have to bow to the speed limits, don't we?
Yeah.
Which is fine. So there are certain things, but when it begins to affect my personal beliefs and experience with God, and let's say that the Bible talks about being faithful, righteous, good, respectful, honourable. The Bible puts good things in front of people. And so when you use the Word of God as your measure, spirit level, you're okay. But you see, we actually have brought laws into this land which aren't level anymore. And so then that comes to point. Then there is a measure of conflict. There has to be, hasn't there? But don't try and tell me that this Word of God is not true, because I hate to tell you, I've been basking in this for 40 odd years now, and had a discussion.
Well, the Word of God's been around a lot longer than the laws have.
That's right. You know. And I've had a discussion even this morning with somebody else who didn't believe in God, didn't believe in healing. People are just trying to do this. They try and they use it to deny God, because that way there's nothing to measure their life against. You've been in the building trade a bit, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know what a plumb line is, don't you?
It's weight on a string.
Yeah, that's weight on a string.
Using water.
Yeah. So there it is. And so that's a plumb line. And it's that measuring line. And no matter what you do, you can't make it lean, can you?
No.
Now, you get a spirit level, and if somebody's dropped it on the floor, that can move, can't it, to some degree? But you can drop a plumb line on the floor as many times as you want, can't you? And every time you pick it up, it'll be the same, won't it? That's the Word of God.
Yeah.
If you want, that's the equivalent. The Word of God is the plumb line. It's not a spirit level. Actually, a plumb line responds to gravity, won't it?
Yeah.
Man didn't make gravity.
No, God made it.
God made it.
Yeah.
And so every time you lift it up, it's still the same line. You know, the wall suddenly don't lean. Nothing changes. It's always the same. And that's God. If you want, that is a picture of God himself. He's a plumb line.
That's a good example.
He says, the Word of God says in Hebrews, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I don't change. So every time you pick a plumb line up, God is just like that. He never changes. Every time I pick it up and put it against that wall, it's still straight. And go on. You know, you can probably find that when the manufacture spirit levels, there's a number of them that won't be straight. There's a number of them that'll be faulty. And so that's why they have the check, so many out of a 1,000 or so. And guarantee that somewhere in that there's going to be one that's wrong. And there are ways of testing them, very simple ways, and you know, but we're not going to that. But the plumb line, you pick it up and it's always straight. Always straight, no matter what happens. God made it. It's the thought that it's simple, but it's effective, and it's true. And the Word of God is not complicated.
No.
It's true, and it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes circumstances and situations. And we have to put the Word of God first. Now, in this prayer that he puts after this scripture about brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach for those unto those things which are before. Forget your past.
Yeah.
Your past is your prison cell.
Yeah.
Your past has been a disaster in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And your past doesn't carry good memories.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing you do is you, to some degree, you learn a measure from your past, but you have to move forward for that understanding to give you anything positive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all got bad memories. We've all had some bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you're feeling down and depressed, guess what comes first?
Bad experiences.
Them bad memories. Why don't we, when we're feeling down and depressed, and weird, why don't we get these nice memories coming along?
Because they don't come from God.
Mm.
You see, the devil wants to steal. The Bible said, Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, he says the devil comes to steal, kill,
and destroy.
Yeah, Marion's got that on her wall.
Has she?
Yeah, she's got that book.
You see,
TV.
That is the devil's target. It's like painting a target on you and saying, I'm going to hit you as many times as I can because I want to kill you.
Mm. I was watching this programme on TV today about American prisoners, going about prisons, and about confrontation and things like that. And they asked this prisoner, why did you do what you did? And she blamed it all on what happened when she was younger.
Mm.
Like you said, it's your past, it's your prison thing, you know.
Mm. It is a prison cell. And he said, you see, but if you drag your past around with you,
that's what she'll be doing.
It'll destroy your life.
Yeah.
And these are the things that we've got to learn to give God our past memories, give God our past hurts, and we've got to forgive people that have done us wrong.
Yeah.
And everybody in this room has got somebody who's done them wrong.
Mm.
To whatever measure it is, there are people there. And you have to choose. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve your bad memories?
No.
Because that's what's happening. I mean, and don't disintegrate with you guys, but we work in Teen Challenge, quite a few of us here. We pray a lot for people involved in Teen Challenge, drug addicts on the streets and every alcoholics and prostitutes. A lot of these have come out of bad memories.
Mm.
They've got to where they are through some bad memories, some bad experiences, and now they're held prisoner with that experience because of something that happened 10, 20, even 30 years ago, and they're in prison and have been, and they're living a hell situation, and yet if they'd let Jesus come in, deal with that circumstances and give it over to him and say, look, I've carried this for 10 years, 20 years, whatever it happens to be, and all it's done, it's brought me poverty, it's brought me close to death, it's just about destroyed my life, it's destroyed what future I had at this stage.
And it destroys people's lives around you as well, doesn't it?
And exactly, it affects all people around you, families, and it destroys them, they're distraught by what has happened to you. And that's just because we won't change our thinking.
Bad memory. Mm.
Because of that bad memory. And you see, to get rid of that bad memory, we need to bring Jesus into the equation and let Jesus cut it off and then start from there. And you see, this is why we talk about being born again.
Yeah.
Being born again means that the old person don't exist anymore.
No.
The memories of the old person don't exist anymore. Born again means that I'm a new creation. That suddenly I'm a person with no historical past. God looks at me and says, yeah, it's Andrew. And the devil says, yeah, but it's Andrew who's done this wrong and he's done that wrong. And God says, no, he's dead. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And the devil's like, you what? Yeah, he died on a cross 2,000 years ago because Jesus, as we said the other week in church, Jesus took my name and said, I'm Andrew Golber and I'm dying for his sins and I'm taking his punishment right now. Oh, hang on. Andrew, you weren't born 2,000 years ago. I know, I don't look 2,000 years old. Glory to God, thank you, Jesus.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. You need glasses.
I do, mate, yeah.
And so, you know, this is what God has done for me. And so, when I came to Jesus Christ and allowed him into my life, I became born again of the Spirit, and that old man, the old mistakes, the old nature, God has done away with. And it's like, it's a new beginning. He's taken a new book and he's opened it up and he's written my name in the front page.
Fresh start.
Exactly. Exactly, Mark. A fresh start. Romans 12 and verse 3. Two, sorry, thank you. Talks about, you know it well, don't you? He's been going on this one quite a bit, haven't you, Bill?
He's spotting up.
All right. Romans 12, verse 2, talks about the renewing of your mind. Because our mind makes us the prisoner. Our thought patterns that start in there, as we said, makes us prisoner. So Romans 12, 2, talks about the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? It says, by the washing of the word. What does that mean?
Reading the Bible.
Exactly. Right. Now, I always say, read your Bible out loud.
Yeah. I tried that, and I did manage to read more of it.
Yeah.
I still couldn't retain it.
No, you know, look, I mean? that's not the issue, right? I'll guarantee that just about everybody around this table can tell you that they could probably read a passage of Scripture that they haven't read for a long time, read it out loud, and I'll guarantee you they haven't retained most of it. Is that true?
Yeah.
But don't sweat about it. Keep moving on. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Right? Now, you've got to read it first before it can bring it to your remembrance.
Yeah.
Don't say that you are going to be this intellect with a head this big that, you know, that has a hard drive that, you know, literally you can just go, John 2 verse 5, what is it? And you go, you know, like a computer, and spit it out.
Come on then.
It don't work like that.
I can't do that.
There are some people that can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one preacher, and he could quote the Bible, and he could read through the Bible without picking a Bible up,
yeah,
couldn't he?
Yeah, that good.
Oh. Oh, I tell you, I've never seen all like it. This guy could preach. He's probably gone to heaven now, bless him. But he could go through the Word of God. Oh, he was an American guy, and he could just reel it off, and used to sit there and think, how does he do that?
Yeah,
you know? Now, you can get downhearted about that and think, well, look at him, what he... Yeah, but I mean, you want to be, like, you want to arise to that, you know, point, and you think, I can't get there.
Resources.
What resources in your mind available?
All these resources.
But they've got to be in your spirit, you see.
Mm.
And it works from your spirit.
Yeah.
And you see, it's, again, reading it out loud. Yeah, you said you're ready to be longer. Don't put yourself under pressure.
No.
Short bursts.
That's what I do.
You know, and just let the word... And listen, how long have you been born again?
Probably about a year.
All right. And what's
it? Maybe a year and a half.
Right. What sort of teaching you had?
None. Just going to church on Sunday, that was
right,
it.
Okay.
Singing songs and listening to preachers preach.
Don't take this as,
apart
as,
from that,
don't take this as an offence, but what are your age now, why?
31. Yeah.
Right, see, good guess, wasn't it?
23.
And 30's 23. And you're 30-ish going around with a nappy and a milk bottle.
Yeah. You've got to start somewhere, aren't you, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm not being offensive when I said that.
Look what you're doing here now. That's not something that I'm sure God's put you to come here.
Let me say this. When you read, when you begin to read the Word of God, as you mature, what happens is, and this happens to me, it happens to others, that suddenly you're reading something and you've read it 3 or 4 times before, 5, 6 times, 10 times, whatever times you've read it, and then suddenly you start reading it and suddenly, bang, a light comes on that very scripture. It lights up on the page.
Yeah.
And you think, I've never seen that before like that.
Mm.
And God just says, come and have a look from over here. And you see something in that word that you've never seen before. And that is why we read the Bible, because this Bible, it's not just like an ordinary book that you read, a magazine. This Bible is a living word with mysteries attached to it that are there that even the educated don't see.
Well, that's it, is a mystery, because half of the words, I don't know what they mean, you know, and the way the word things as well. You know,
well, I'll be honest, you know, I always say, and I've said it recently to somebody, get a dictionary. When you start getting, get a dictionary. Because the other week I was reading something, I thought, what does that really mean? Grabbed a dictionary off shelf, flick through a dictionary, and you have a look. And, oh, right, okay. And start looking. You see, it's not being thick. Learning is not being thick. Seeking to understanding is not being thick. Because the person that stops learning, that's a thick person.
Yeah. Mm.
Because I'll tell you this, from the moment that you're born to the point of the grave, we should be learning.
Yeah.
And in the same way, when we commence our walk with Jesus Christ and we begin to read the Word of God, we start on the learning curve. We start on the walk.
The NIV's a better
translation.
It's easier to understand.
It is, yeah.
King James can be a bit wordy.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. It, and you see, for us that's been brought up with King James, it's easier. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I don't like the NIV, but that's all right. You know, I'm not an NIV. See, it don't roll, it don't flow, it's not poetic. No. It's read the book of Acts all the way through.
Yeah.
Don't try and understand it, just read it. Absolutely, just read it. The book of Acts. It's not a, you know, just do it as a challenge for yourself. Read it in a month.
How big is it?
About 30 chapters, one a day. I'm not saying read it that you're going to come back and tell me all about it in that sense, but just read it to inspire yourself.
Yeah.
Don't bother with the Old Testament so much at the moment.
I ain't got it anyway. So.
Oh no, you haven't. So that's all right. But and hey, if you don't understand a word, bring it. Come along and ask somebody. You know, hey, that's what family's about. Mm. When you were growing up, you know, you're learning to read. Just keep asking. Let's get back to this, can we?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
It's all right. You'll be forgiven. Yeah. We'll find you something else for repenting with. So the confession for today: I confess that God is good. He has been faithful to me.
Yeah.
He has never failed me.
No.
He will never fail me in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Even when bad things try to come against me, God saved me, delivered me, and brought me out with no permanent harm.
Mm.
It is a miracle I survived everything that happened to me in the past.
Yes.
I think that's a great statement. It's a miracle I survived everything that happened to me in the past.
I've
nearly been killed 3 times. Yeah. You know why? I've got a work to do.
Mm.
And the devil don't want me to do what I've got to do. So he's had 3 attempts on my life. I've been nearly trapped. I've been trapped under 2 cars twice, nearly killed. I've been in 1 car accident. And the car accident I was in, I went through a wood, and somebody had cut a tree down a few days before, that high off the ground, and I was in a sports car, and that tree would have been in the middle of, and it was 15 inches diameter, and it would have been in the middle of the bonnet of the car, and the engine would have been where I was sat.
Yeah, pushed it into it.
And that tree had been cut down to that. Who cuts a tree down to that?
No, I think it's about that. Stumps.
And it was a fresh cut.
Yeah.
But there was no tree there.
No.
And when I got out of the car, I walked back, and that's what, and the tree stump was behind the car.
Yeah.
Yes. And I walked back, and I saw it, and I went, "Oh, wow!"
You're lucky.
And I reversed out.
But who drives so well anyway?
Me, obviously. And I had my nephew with me. And I tell, you know, my life has been saved physically, to my knowledge now, 3 times. So I'm going to say there's been 3 attempts on my life, if you want.
Stop driving.
No, I'm still going to do. You see, God is with me. He said he'd never leave me and he'll never forsake me. So the next thing, on the next day, this is it. The title is Forge Ahead to the Finish.
Amen.
Right? You're not going to forge ahead to the finish while you're dragging your past.
No.
Behind.
No.
So you've got to start snipping away at the past, getting it cut off, because you're going to forge ahead to your future, to the finishing line, yeah. Right?
What does it mean, though, forge ahead to the finish?
Press on.
Get on with your life.
Get on with it.
You've got.
Yeah. Go for it. Give it everything. Forge. Put some effort. Mm. This, you put some effort in your past.
So it don't mean kill yourself.
No, it means just get on with it. Go for it. Because there's something exciting in the future. Your future is going to be better than your past.
You've got to have faith.
He is doing.
Yes. No, yes,
I'm
no.
saying his future
is
going to be better than his past.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see, these are the things, and yours as well. That's right. You have to claim these things and declare it. And when you declare these things, you're declaring these things before principalities and powers, and you're declaring it before the very throne room of God. You know, God is in on this conversation tonight. And so the prayer is then, so the verse of scripture he uses is from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. And it's, I press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. You see, it's not somebody else. It's not Joan pressing forward for me. It's not me pressing forward for Tabin. I have to do my pressing forward.
Yeah.
I can stand on the sidelines and say, yo, go for it. Come on, you know, you can do it. And you see, God has made everything available to us. And so then he goes on and he says the prayer for this day. Lord, help me to stay absolutely committed to the assignment you've given me. Yeah. Ready to do whatever is necessary to finish the job. Forgive me for giving up so easily in the past when I ran into barriers. Help me to get more creative the next time I hit an impasse so I can find a way to do what you've called me to do. Find a way. Find a way. Mm-hmm. Often to find a way, sometimes you just got to get on your knees and you've got to pray.
Yeah.
Lord, show me the way. Mm-hmm. Take your eyes off the difficulty, put your eyes on God, and he'll show you the way. And he'll show you from a different viewpoint, because shows you through his eyes, not yours.
Didn't Paul say, lay aside all weights and everything?
And there you go.
Entangles you.
That's Romans 12.
Yeah. Laying aside every weight.
Because you're running a race, isn't you?
Yeah.
You can't run a race if you're all weighed down with
baggage. Dragging your baggage, dragging your past bit. You'll never be first. You know, you'll be exhausted before you get to the end of the race. Dragging your baggage, dragging your past, dragging your history. Hey, and guess what? Most people want you to drag your past. But do you know something?
Yeah.
I'm a person with no past. And I'm moving forward in God. And that's what God wants for us, you see. And you have to take that on board. And again, it brings us back to that scripture in Romans 12 and verse 2 about the renewing of your mind, renewing your thinking, changing your thinking. But the only way you're going to do it is when you spend time in God's word and in the presence of God, and when you spend time with the people of God. Because if you hang around with people who are going to encourage you to go for something, encourage you to go forward, you start to be like them.
Yeah.
If you hang around with alcoholics and drug addicts, guess what, one day you're going to be like them.
Yeah.
Help me to get more creative the next time I hit an impasse so I can find a way to do what you've called me to do. I know that by the power of your spirit I can show much more fortitude in the face of obstacles than I've done in the past. Forgive me for being so easy on myself. I ask you now to teach me how to operate in your strength and wisdom when I encounter an impasse. An impasse being something difficult, a challenge, you just don't seem to be a way through.
Yeah.
But in God,
not impossible.
Nothing's impossible. It's always him.
Impossible.
That's it.
There's an advert
him,
now.
Impossible.
Impossible. Yeah. Yeah. You see, there's an advert. There's an advert on TV now for American Express credit cards, and it says, and it starts off with impossible.
Yeah. I
and then they swing this ball down and smash it and say it's possible.
Mm.
And I thought, yeah, but you see, you haven't really got it.
No.
You see, that's the world's way. But God's way is, when the breath of God, it's him possible. And when things have, there's such a way, there's an impasse, and nobody can find a way through it.
Hey.
I know somebody who can. And it's God. My Jesus will make a way where there is no way. He can make a way in the wilderness. He can provide in every circumstance and situation. So here we go. So, forgive me for being so easy on myself. I ask you now to teach me how to operate in your strength and wisdom when I encounter impasses, so that I can forge ahead to finish the job you've given me to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Confession for the day is, I confess that regardless of what I face or what I cross through to fulfill God's plan, nothing takes God by surprise.
Yes.
When he called me, God equipped me with all the power, wisdom, and insight I will ever need to get across the hurdles Satan tries to put in my pathway.
Wow.
There is no impasse I cannot get through on my way to achieve God's will for my life. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. We have to have faith in the Word of God. And this is why I say this is about reading. And one, and some ways of remembering the Word of God is write it out. Stick it on a mirror that you look at every day. Just take one or two scriptures and think, I'm going to learn them. Whatever you do, you're never going to read the whole Bible and think, I'm going to learn that this week. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You know, it's like, oh, that's a great scripture. Wherever I go today, he's with me. You know, he's going to strengthen me, you know. And I think Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, it's only a shadow. It's not the reality of it.
Yeah.
And you know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me today. And all the days of my life, you see. You know, these are the things, you see. This is what God wants. This is what God wants to do. God wants you to realise that this is very personal. This is a letter to you.
Yeah.
It's a letter to you. This is your spiritual food that gives power. It empowers you, it strengthens you, it changes your life. I was talking today to somebody. And Graham was with us when we were in Romania this last time. And I've just had a conversation. Were you with me this last time? Mm. Yeah, you were, weren't you? There was a lady that came in the came to the church, and for 10 years she's had pains in her arms and in her legs. Mm. She's been taking medication for 10 years. And I said to her, and so does the medication help? And she says, no. It's like, well, why bother, basically? But I didn't say that, but you know, you think that, don't you? If you don't know it for 10 years, why do you keep taking it? But you know, you get into this mindset. And so I said, okay, we're going to pray with you. I said, and I believe God's going to heal you. Now that lady was just about as tall as me, isn't she? And prayed for her. Evening service. Off she went home. The next day, we had a leaders' conference. And I get up and I see that she's sat in the leaders' conference meeting. I think, what's she doing here? She's a congregation member. But she's turned up. And the only reason she'd come was to tell us what had happened. And after part of the conference, she came up and Danny said, come here, she wants to tell you something. And she said, she explained that she'd had these pains in her arm for 10 years. She woke up this morning, she said, not got a pain in her arms or her legs. All
no,
gone.
All gone.
I thought, wow, fantastic,
she
that's great. And she'd walked all the way from the one end of the village to the other end of the village to church, which she doesn't normally do. And she'd no pain. To top it all, she then went on to say, I was a seamstress, sewing machines, and so obviously being 6 foot, she'd be stooped over a lot. And she said, for a long time now, she's never been able to stand up straight. This morning when she got up, he says, she can stand up straight. First time in years. And it reminded me of the woman with a spirit of infirmity who was bowed over. And God just, Jesus healed her and set her free. And I thought it was fantastic, and she was really blessed. I was talking to Danny a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, and he said to me, do you remember that lady that you prayed for that with the pains in the arse? I said, yeah. I said, I do. Well, he said, she's been in the church quite a long time. He says, and in years gone by, she has been a pain. She has been, you know, we're not doing this right, we're not doing that right. She's always been picking faults and what have you. And, oh, this will never work. And the real discouragement. He says, you won't believe it now. She's coming along to church and she's saying, Danny, don't worry about so-and-so. Don't let them get to you. We're going to pray, we're going to believe God. She's just the opposite.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't know what happened to that dear lady.
Because you've shown her that praying, actually.
God has revealed himself to her at that point in time. And not only has it had an effect on her physically, but it has changed something within her spiritually. So can you see what I'm saying? You know, she didn't come for anything other than she wanted to be healed. But it's done something else in her. God has done something and met her at a point. And what I'm saying is that none of us force these things. God will do it. God moves at his time and at his pace. And he sets you up, right? And he don't set you up to fail.
No.
He sets you up for success. But we've got to respond to the timing. We've got to be in the, you know, we've got to follow God and get to the right place and let the Spirit of God do the work. You know what I'm talking about. It's been happening to you even recently, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah, and so God is at work to do good for us. Don't be afraid of the future. Press on. There is a great future.
Amen.
As long as Jesus Christ is the centre of it.
Yeah.
If you put anything else in the centre, you're going to miss the mark. It's going to be like shooting with a rifle that the sights are out of balance. They're not right. But you get Jesus right in the centre and you will hit the mark and you will see success. You will see your life change.
Yeah.
You will go to another level
that
you've never realised was available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all through Jesus. It's all through this Bible. Now you say, well, you might think, well, you're making it easy. No, I'm not. I'm just saying it as it is. I'm saying that this is how I found it for the last 45 years or so.
In Hebrews 12, Andrew, it says that they run the race with faith and patience. And
yeah.
I think sometimes that's what we've got to have patience.
Yeah.
Because we expect everything to be sorted out straight away.
Absolutely, yeah.
Looking at the galley, you think your family's going to change overnight, but it'll take time.
But it's been 3.5, nearly 4 years now.
Oh, well,
you know,
God will do it.
Don't worry about it. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. That's nothing. I mean,
it's hard to look, yeah.
And it'll change. You change, because since I've come to church, I've changed, and I cope with things a lot better.
Yeah.
I don't lose my temper, and I cope with things. And I talk to people in a calm way, you know, to calm them when they're like that. And you do change; it does change you that you can cope with things a lot better.
Yeah.
Every one of us here is in a process of change.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It is true. Yeah. Yeah.
You see, you can have maturity beyond your years when you've got the Word of God in you.
Yeah.
You see, it's not about age, but it's about how much of this Jesus possesses you and how much of you possess in Jesus. And your maturity will come out of your relationship with Jesus. It's not about how mature you are as a person, how old you are, but it's about your relationship, your trust in God. I remember when I was, I think I was 20, 25, and I was managing part of the steel foundry, £2 million turnover. My boss used to say to me, "An old head on young shoulders, you." I didn't think that, because I used to love to have fun and fool around and what have you. But when it came to my job, and it came to the word and the Word of God, it was important, and I let the Word of God direct me. Even when I was at work, I didn't let work direct me. The Word of God directed me at work. And I'll tell you this, I had to pray for things that, well, mathematically, scientifically, these things could not work. But my back were against a wall. And I said, "God, I need a miracle. I need you to help." We were manufacturing some things, I'll go into details. And they had to go for x-raying, we had to destruct them, destroy them and look at them in absolute detail. And you know, I got a miracle because one of the top guys in the profession that I was in, I called him in for some advice. And he said to me, "That will not work. There will be holes in the prime area that you don't want them. It will not work." And I said, "Well, let me tell you this. I've calculated it. I've prayed about it. And it's got to work because I'm committed to it now. There's no time to change it." Guess what?
It worked.
Mm. It worked. He was, "I don't believe it's worked." I said, "Well, it has." And all I can say is, my God changes things.
Amen.
And he does it for one reason. Because he loves you.
Yeah.
Can I just say one thing as well? One thing I must tell you is I've been concentrating more on the Word, and I've found my relationship with God, and I've felt Him with me.
Yeah.
I really have. So I just need to tell you that, because it really has helped me.
So that's what you all keep saying, you know, you speak to God and you feel His presence or whatever, but you know, I've not.
Don't worry about
anything,
it.
You know, it's just...
If you're reading the Bible, don't be reading it thinking, "Well, I'll never remember this, or I don't understand it." Because
well, you heard what I said.
Just sort of read it.
You're still in nappies.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, that is not being nappies.
I kind of like get it now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're still in nappies, you know. I mean, how can you know God, who's the God of the universe, the creator of all things, and you've been popping in and out of churches for a little while, 12 months or so.
Mm.
It's like, hey, you know, you're dabbling your toes in the water, you know, you're not yet started swimming in this, you know, and it's like, hey, you're going to get there if you stick in with it.
I mean, I started going to church in the first place because the old vicar or pastor or whatever he was, when he did his sermon, he used to say things or read things out of the Bible, and some of the things used to click, I was thinking, you know, that used to go on with my life, you know, and it made sense to me, you know, and it helped me along my life kind of thing. You know, that's what kept me going back each week. I thought, what's he going to say this week? That's going to help me in my life, you know. And some of the things really did help. It did make things better. And, you know,
you've got to keep with it, though.
I've been like you myself.
Mm.
I've been... You're just reminding me of how I was.
Oh, no.
Well,
where she's come from.
No, what I'm saying, that's why I've got to relate to you. Well, that's all I can say, because if he can work with me like he has, I'm sorry, he can work with you. I know
he can work with anybody if he can work with her.
I know, that's what I feel. If he got to fuck you when he got me.
All I'm going to say is that sometimes you need to, and don't take this wrong, sometimes you just need to hang back, because you believe it or not, at some stage I will answer the question before you've asked it.
Yeah.
And then one of the things you could do is just jot a note down and think, I wonder what this really means, and we will address them.
Afterwards,
we don't have a problem.
Rather than just coming out with it.
Yeah, not always. I mean, sometimes it's good to have this interreaction.
Mm.
And as long as it's picked up and heard properly on the microphones, that is the other thing. Because if you get somebody, you know, this can actually help somebody who's listening over the internet, you see. And they can be in a, they can be somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't know. We do not know whose lives we touch through this, through the internet. Bill's in charge of that, and thank God for his talents and his abilities.
This is Bill.
That's Bill.
This is what I'm on about earlier.
I mean, left will have been.
I didn't want to intrude because I don't know how this group acts or, you know, reacts.
It's a family.
I didn't want to come in here and, you know, take over or.
Oh no, you have done like
that. Or just sit back and say, sit back and say nothing. You know.
Hey, he's made a change. It's this one that usually takes
over. Well, you can't get any word in for going on, you know. That's what I'm saying, you know.
You can't
have change.
Remember this. Yeah. You can't change. You can't change Mark.
No.
You can't change Tracy. You can't change me. Right? Mm. Only God can change me. Only God can change Mark. Only this book can change us. And that's the only thing that can change you. You can't change your family.
No.
You happen to be born into that family, you know, this thing, the average is, you know, but the thing that gives you the strength to go for things in the future is this, is the Word of God, is Jesus as a person, he's a personal friend, and he's a reality.
Yes.
On it, for me, I talk to him every day, he's a reality, and he talks back to me, he's real, and so this is. This should be more important than food in that sense. And it's like David said on Sunday. I thought it was quite amazing, actually. When he was a missionary,
at the mission field, I haven't got none anyway.
They wanted Bibles.
Bible.
They were desperate for Bibles. Now, well, let's put it, mobile phones.
Mm.
Everybody's got a mobile phone. And he says, how many of you have got a Bible?
Not all of us have mobile phones.
Very few put their hand up about the Bible. Mm. How many got mobile phones? Everybody got a mobile phone. Priorities have changed, he was saying. Priorities for the things of this world, not for the things of God. This will put food on your table.
Well,
a mobile phone won't.
No.
This will put food on your table. This, you see, this is this is a book of miracles.
Yeah. It is. How's it going to do that, though?
Hey, I don't know, because I don't know how miracles work.
Isn't it called a book of seeds?
A book of seeds, yeah, that's another
for it, yeah. Some seeds, yeah.
But it's like I've been sharing, you know, when we were in Romania, that woman, not only did he heal her physically, but he did something spiritually in her. And she's changed. Now, why did that happen? That happened because we went, but before we went, we spent time in the Word, we spent time talking and listening to God. And we went out there because we believed that no matter where we went, God was going to go with us. And that where we went, God was going to do signs, wonders and miracles. Because that's what my Bible says. That you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Signs and wonders and miracles shall, it says, not might, shall follow the preaching of this gospel. This gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ died and rose again on the third day and has ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father and has given his power and his anointing to his disciples. I'm a disciple of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Christian.
No.
Of course, everybody says, oh, I live in a Christian country, so I'm a Christian, aren't I? Well, what's a Christian? That's what the world called them in Acts. But Jesus said, go and make disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus. That's the difference.
Right.
And so, I don't want Christians. I want disciples. I want people who are going to be disciplined followers of the Lord Jesus. So that when a battle strikes, you're not looking around and thinking,
where did
they go?
Mm.
But you know that they're right by you. And when the battle comes on full force, the next thing you know, everybody's charging forward in strength, in the power of the Word and prayer, and the enemy is now on the run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're looking for. And I'll tell you this, this church has been under attack now for at least 6 to 12 months. Members have been under attack spiritually for at least 6 to 12 months and longer, because I believe we're on the verge of something happening. And it's like, hey, just got to dig in and stand. The Bible says, having done everything, stand.
Yeah.
I mean, got in this word, stand.
Stand.
And
stand
see God.
Yeah.
Well, you see, stand and see God deliver is a better phrase. I know that word says, you know, stand and, you know, that word of the highway robbers, stand and deliver. Well,
no, I'm talking about
the
song.
Yeah, I know. Well, the word says, stand and you will see God deliver the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Time and time and time again. And all God's saying is, stand, let my word be in you. Let it be powerful. And it will change circumstances. Ephesians 6, that's right, verse 13. That's it.
There we go again.
Great, fabulous.
You've got a spare room with yours.
Fabulous scriptures. I've got a spare Bible in the boot of my car.
I've got a Bible at home, but it's just the New Testament.
I've got a full Bible. I've got a full Bible in my car for you. One of the things that we've got to learn is that God gave us one mouth and two ears.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. Because it's more important to listen than it is to shoot your mouth off. And the Bible, there's a proverb says,
a foolish
man is heard for his much speaking. Not that we're calling you a fool. And a wise man is heard for keeping his mouth, he's wise because he keeps his mouth shut. And he says, even a fool, if he keeps his mouth shut, looks good amongst a crowd of intelligent people, basically. So, you know, sometimes it's good, listen and wait and see what God is doing. Well, it's good to see everybody. It's nice to see you two guys as well. You're very welcome. And I hope we haven't bored your socks off. I hope some of it you've understood.